Wednesday night at our prayer meeting and Bible study. And by the way, I've missed a lot of you. I suppose it's that time of the year where we spend family, which is good. That's okay. But I trust as things get settled back into what we would consider normal, whatever normal is, that you would be on your places for our prayer meeting and Bible study. But nevertheless, for those of us who are here, we considered this matter of thankfulness. Thankfulness from a year that was riddled with difficulties, 2020. In fact, one of the person that's there said, "I'll stay and watch 2020 go away." So she promised to be awake and make sure that 2020 is disappears really, really well. And some of you would have received Brother Chris Hustler's little text, and he wanted 2020 to just go. But it is true. It's gone. It's history. And we cannot turn back or wind the clock, so to speak. Now, it runs through some of the major events that occurred in 2020 last Wednesday, things that I have picked up through the news and the clippings, and I've sort of enumerated them on the night. Nevertheless, it being no doubt an unprecedented year, 2020, we thank the Lord for it. We've encouraged ourselves and reminded ourselves not to take for granted the blessings of the Lord in and through the pandemic. And any other time, for that matter, to not get used to being blessed, that we take the blessings from the Lord for granted and become ungrateful. We reminded ourselves that all blessings come from the Lord and no other. The pleasures of life, the money, the houses, the cars, the health, but also the not so pleasurable parts of life, the sickness, the afflictions, and indeed the trials, they are there for a purpose. They are just the same blessings from the Lord. We are made strong through them in times of our weakness, do we not? You've never probably prayed so hard in your life for Brother Benji, Brother Mark, Brother John Ball, Brother Brian, and everyone else that we have on our list. And so there is indeed a ministry in afflictions and indeed suffering. And so we understand that while temporal blessings are good, the eternal blessings, the spiritual blessings, are even better. And so we encourage ourselves with that. And then we challenge ourselves that the word thanksgiving is really a combination of two words, thanks and giving. And made it so and understood that we thank the Lord for his blessings, and as we do, we actually share the blessings by giving. And I'm not talking of dollars and cents only. I'm obviously talking about the deeds and the cares and concerns for the flock and indeed for each other. And so this morning, our first worship Sunday in the new year, I'd like to go back to a verse that I've preached from before. And I think there are just verses or passages or even messages that are worth preaching or hearing again. And it's in Psalm 39, chapter 39. Would you please be upstanding, please, one more time? We're going to read from verses 4 to 6. Psalm 39, and then after this we'll go to Psalm 90. So Psalm 39 in verse 4. The Bible says, "Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Just a few pages, Psalm chapter 90. Just one verse from here, and in verse 12, Psalm 90, verse 12. It's good to hear those Bibles. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let's pray together. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity and indeed the privilege to preach your word. Thank you that we have it in our hands, preserved for us these many generations. And as we look to it, Father, I pray that your will and way be accomplished in us. Your word, as you promised, will not return void. And Lord, that it will remind us and indeed teach us to number our days. As we have our first worship day in this new year that you've given us, thank you for the prospect that we have. And as we look to your word, we ask for wisdom, power from on high, from this servant. And Lord, that by this time is over, that we would be better people for you. We would have a renewed realization of just who we are before a holy, mighty, and righteous God. And so, Father, we commit our time to you this morning. Meet with us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Teach us to number our days. That's the title of our message this morning. Teach us to number our days. One Bible teacher described Psalm 39 as, and I quote, an exceptionally heavy lament, which compares with Job chapter 7 and much of Ecclesiastes. It also carries on the here today, gone tomorrow emphasis of Psalm 37, end of quote. Charles Spurgeon, in one of his masterpieces, The Treasury of David, and by the way, if you haven't got a set of that, it's a good investment. You can pick up this 3-volume of Treasury of David, written by Charles Spurgeon. It's a wonderful devotional expository things about the book of Psalms. If you haven't got it, try and get it. Save 2 weeks of coffee or something, but buy it. Charles Spurgeon said that David must have given this sorrowful ode to Jeduthun, the director of the temple choir at the time, to set it into music. The psalm is divided into 3 parts. Firstly, being the suppression of his complaint unto God until he can no longer contain it. In verses 1 to 3, verse 1, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. Verse 2, I was dumb, that means I was mute with silence. I held my peace, and then in verse 3, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, while I was meditating, the fire burned, then I spake with my tongue. He couldn't contain himself anymore, and therefore he spoke. Secondly, from verses 4 to 11, when he can no longer contain himself, he cried out in distress about his life and how brief it is. How frail is he in verse 4, and how short his lifespan is, a handbreadth, that's it. And he compared to the eternal God, his age is nothing, the Bible says. He is but vanity, that means but a vapor. Isn't it true? Our life is but a vapor. Verse 6, he walketh as a vain show. That means just a shadow. How long does a shadow last? Not very long at all. And then in verse 6, if you notice it at the end there, he reapeth riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Knoweth not who shall gather them. Why do we work so hard? And why do we make all the effort to gain earthly riches? And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not dismissing it. Many of you have been successful in your earthly lives, and God bless you. You have used those success in being a blessing to many people all these many years. So it's not about that, but what I'm trying to ask here is we all have all sorts of reasons, different reasons, but most of us we work so hard, we heap riches to take care of our posterity, is it not? To leave some sort of inheritance to our children and to their children's children. For many of you, you have been successful in that, but for some of us, perhaps not. But regardless of that, we do and have the desire to leave our children some inheritance. But if I'm to look at this verse, there is no guarantee that, first of all, that our children will outlive us. And therefore, you might actually keep your own inheritance. And there is a new movement now that we're spending the children's inheritance. We're enjoying it. We're doing some travels and we're rewarding ourselves. And that's the view, of course. Inheritance can actually be, as I've seen in my corporate life, be a source of contention amongst the children themselves. We have a joke in our own place, by God's grace, when I'm able, I try to give my wife jewelry. And they are now starting to label who's who and who's getting what. Can you believe that, Zoe? She's horrified, no. But it's a joke, of course. So inheritance. But you see, it can be a source of contention. And I told my girls that if it becomes a contention, we'll just throw it somewhere. But Fiona is smart. She said, my finger size is closest to mom. And therefore, she will inherit most of the jewelry. But who shall gather those riches that we heaped from? The Bible says we don't know. And if I'm to believe what my wife tells me, and now Fiona, because she deals with the aged, the horrible stories in the nursing homes, and aging for that matter, and who really gathers the riches? Not the people or the persons that we think will. And of course, if the Lord descends in the cloud right now, we'll be caught up together with Him in the clouds. Isn't that true? That's what the Bible says. And so perhaps those riches that we tried to heap, we'll just leave them to the Antichrist. Let me pull that back. I don't want you to be responsible now and sell all you have and all your possessions and all these things. That's not what I'm trying to say here. It is responsible to do those things. But what I'm trying to point out is that let us not be obsessive with earthly riches. Let us not be consumed because, as the Bible says, we do not know who will gather them at the end. Beloved, we're just passing through. We've said that plenty of times from this pulpit. This is not our final destination. And so don't invest too much on the seen. Invest on the yet unseen, but will be seen in the near future. Don't put a firm clasp on the temporal. Be able to release them if you really need to. And don't be possessed by your possessions. Okay? We don't know how long we have down here on God's earth. And then thirdly, from verses 12 to 13, we find him in prayer to God in tears for peace, that God would spare him. And as always, there's so much to learn about this particular psalm. But for our purposes this morning, and in the context of what I would like us to consider, that of learning to number our days, I want to draw your attention on the list, at least three devotional thoughts this morning. You've heard me say this before, but it's worth revisiting them. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply." That means that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That we may apply unto wisdom. Gain a heart for wisdom. Firstly, wisdom in lost aspirations. Wisdom in lost aspirations. Do you still remember, beloved, this time last year, what your aspirations were? Perhaps the prayer that you uttered on the first minute of the new year. Perhaps you've written it somewhere, as Tim has said to you, New Year's resolutions, things that you have committed to the Lord. Obviously, that was before the pandemic. What were your aspirations then? Did you make some commitments to the Lord then? Some good, godly aspirations, perhaps? Just cast your mind back to January 2020. Now let me talk to us fathers first, as always, including this one that's in front of you. Didn't we aspire to read and study our Bible more? Didn't we aspire to become better spiritual leaders in our homes? Didn't we aspire to be more committed in our personal devotions and prayer time with the Lord? Didn't we aspire to love our wives more last year than we've ever done before? Didn't we aspire not to provoke our children to wrath, but to nurture them in the admonition of the Lord? Didn't we aspire to be bolder in our witness as fathers? Didn't we aspire to be content and not covetous? Not be focused on securing earthly riches, enslaving ourselves and our family into debt as a consequence? Didn't we aspire and said earlier in the year, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? Dads, sounds familiar? I read a lot of this as my aspirations for 2020. How did you go? I can't answer for you, but I can only answer for myself. I confess to you, I did not follow through on all that I have committed to the Lord. No excuse. I just didn't. Things got in the way. Other priorities came, and I got distracted. Looking back, I wish I did things differently. I wish I would have opened my mouth and tamed my tongue a little bit more. I wish I've managed my time better. I wished I have I wish. What about you, wives? How'd you go? Didn't you aspire to love and be more submissive to your husbands as unto the Lord last year? Didn't you aspire to be a helpmeet more than you were previously? Didn't you aspire not to usurp authority over the man, but to learn in silence with all subjection? Didn't you aspire to be better keepers of your homes, be not busybodies, and not be like tattlers or gossipers, as some of the widows in Ephesus have been? Didn't you aspire to becoming more of that virtuous woman described in Proverbs 31? Didn't you aspire to become more like Lois and Eunice in their unfeigned faith? And didn't you aspire to adorn yourselves in modest apparel and shamefulness and sobriety. Were those your aspirations, ladies? Moms? Single women? How'd you go? Have you achieved or fulfilled all your aspirations? Now, young people, it's your turn. How about you? Didn't you aspire to be despised of no man, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity? And I'm not just talking purity in body. I'm talking purity up here. I'm talking purity up here. I'm talking purity up here. How'd you go? Didn't you aspire to be more honoring to your father and mother and become obedient to your parents because you know what that is right? Didn't you aspire to study and show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, young people? Didn't you aspire to keep yourself pure and stay away from appearance of all evil? I ask the same questions. How'd you go? Have you fulfilled your aspirations? Are 2020 aspirations what we have done with them? For some in this room, it's a good report. Oh, a good report. But as your pastor, would we have more good reports this year? It's always a praise to the Lord and to God Almighty when we have good reports about aspirations. May it be so in this year 2021. But I'm sure many of you will agree with me. We need more of these good reports. The second thought I want for us to consider is about our life lessons last year. Our life lessons. Have we learned them or learned from them? What did the Lord teach us in the year just gone? If you're in my shoes, there's a lot. Oh, a lot. I have learned a lot in the year just gone. I'm sure you did too. Were we obedient or were we disobedient? Did we heed the chastening of the Lord for when we were disobedient, knowing that for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth? Or did we harden our hearts unto the Lord? Did we learn our lessons the first time? Second time? Or if you're like me, many more times before I get it? J. Sidlow Baxter once said, and I quote, "Experience is one of the greatest teachers you could ever have, but, his fees are very costly." End of quote. Folks, let me tell you, I have paid, and truth be told, many of you have paid exorbitant amount of fees last year. And the year before that, and the one before that as well. What about the choices we made throughout the year and the consequences of those choices? What were our lessons on faith and the practice of faith? Have we recognized and admitted to ourselves that we are not omniscient after all? That we haven't got it all together, that we needed the grace and mercy of God, and we needed His wisdom, and we needed to ask for it, that we haven't all figured it all out. Folks, I don't know what 2020 was really like for you. I don't really have a clue of your deepest woes and your deepest miseries last year. I don't know the trying of your faith was like and the refining that you have gone through the last year. I have no comprehension of what kind of plowing that the Lord have imposed upon you or did unto you for your benefit. But what I do know is that I'm sure you would agree with me, there were plenty of life lessons for us last year. Now, whether we learned from them is another story, of course. And 2021 will manifest that, whether we've actually learned our life lessons. Lost aspirations, life lessons, and then thirdly, how about our lost opportunities? Our lost opportunities. In love, let me ask you, and I know we have been locked down for most of the last year, some 6 to 7 months, in fact. But have we taken opportunities to witness for the Lord? At a time where there is grief, at a time where there is confusion, at a time where there's so much losses in lives and livelihood, at a time where people are tender, at a time where people are searching, have we taken the opportunity to tell them about the Lord? Have we comforted people in what we know of the grace and mercy of God? Or have we been busy complaining of our inconveniences? What about that phone call we were going to make to encourage that brother or sister? Did you remember that opportunity you had to send a love gift to someone which the Holy Spirit prompted you? Somehow you dismissed it, ignored it, and didn't act on the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Lost opportunity. How about that Bible book you were going to read? That Bible topic you were going to study deeper? That biography you were going to research? That lesson you were going to share to teach? Not even here, but teach your own family and even your wife. How about that? Have we actually remembered to fast and pray for this and that and the other when we had the opportunity to do so? Lost opportunity. Sobering thoughts, aren't they? You know, we could go on and on until we all start feeling guilty. But if that's all that we are going to achieve out of this message, to feel guilty, then I haven't done my job in these 40 or so minutes. The goal is not to feel guilty, beloved. And this is not a negative message either. I know it doesn't seem it and feel like it at the moment, but just stay with me a bit longer, please. You're probably sitting there and thinking, is this questioning going to end? It's really getting to my nerves, Pastor. You're overstepping the line. You're meddling now. And it makes me uncomfortable. Believe me, if you haven't got a problem with everything that I have shared so far, forgive me. I'm not intentionally annoying you. But for the most of us, these are real issues. These are real struggles that we are contending with. Johnson Altman Jr., the writer of the hymn Higher Ground, he gives us a good reminder here about lost aspirations. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Are you going to continue to be minimalistic this year? Content to be getting by? Or would you aspire to do great things for God? In however short, in however much our days will still be on this earth. By God's grace and mercy, let us turn those regrets into resolves. You see, if we did not have these aspirations to begin with, we will never find out what we have actually done for the Lord and what we haven't done. So it's not bad to have aspirations. I hear it sometimes and it grieves my soul. There's no point making resolutions. Yes, there is. Especially if they're within the context and the object is right. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. What about those life lessons, those ones that we seemingly have difficulty in learning? The Bible says in James chapter 1 in verse 5 that if we lack wisdom, that we should ask of God who giveth and upbraideth not. And when he gives it liberally. But could it be, beloved, that it's really not wisdom that we actually need? Do we actually, in fact, we really know what we need to do? Could it be that these trials, these difficulties, are actually part of the trials of our faith? They are for our refining, 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 7. That these life lessons, like the Israelites of old, they are for our admonition, for our instruction, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. That these life lessons may well be part of our sanctification process. The purging, the pruning, the refining that we're going through, they are for our equipping and indeed for our maturing, John 17. What about those lost opportunities? Can you hear the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, verse 15, warring with himself, saying it over and over again, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Can you hear him? Isn't that your dilemma? As any well-meaning Christian today, the things we like to do, we end up not doing. And the things that we do not want to do, we end up doing. They're not new. And you're not the only one. The great apostle himself confessed to doing so. Now I want you to hear the same apostle in his warring, in his struggle, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, saying, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." And reaching forth unto those things which are before. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You and I can sit through year 2021 remembering the past, the failings, and all of the things that we did. Not so with the Apostle Paul. He pressed toward the mark. And then finally, hear him one more time towards the end of his earthly life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 6 and 8, he said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." And listen, don't miss this one. "And not only to me, but also to them that love his appearing." Do you love his appearing? Or are you working to battle through? "I have finished my course, for my departure is at hand." I look at us this morning. It will be by the grace of God if I don't bury some of you this year. And it may well be this one that you're looking at. Folks, we don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. Lord, teach us to number our days. Now turn to Psalm 39. Back to Psalm 39, and we'll be done by this. In verse 7 this time, I purposely did not include it in our reading and in our text because I want to, for us to appreciate the impact of verse 7. Psalm 39, verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. My hope is in Thee. My hope is in Thee. David said that in his time, and so can we say it and declare that our hope is in the Lord. The United Nations will tell you that the hope is in them. The governments of our day, both here and abroad, will tell you that the hope is in them. No, beloved, our hope is to nobody else and to no not anything else but in the Lord. My hope is in Thee. And in closing, let me just say this. Those lost aspirations, those life lessons that we failed to learn, those lost opportunities that we did not take, listen, they're not completely lost. We haven't lost them completely, at least not for some of them. We can reinstate them this year. We can have the same aspirations this year. And just because we failed last year doesn't mean that we will just give up. There may be lost aspirations, but beloved, listen, we can reinstate those aspirations this year. Those good and godly motives that you've had. Sure, the pandemic has had something to do with it, but you can reinstate them this year. Those life lessons that we struggled with, those that we did not get right the first time, we can relearn them this year. Oh, your God is merciful and gracious and patient, and He will teach you His ways if you will be but willing to relearn them. We never stop learning, do we not? I know I'm a lot younger than most of you, but the older I get, I'm beginning to realize how much I don't know. True. The more I look at this word, the more I realize how much I do not know. And the more I pray and consider my Savior, I realize that in this new year, I have to rely and hope in Him. My training, my vision, my passion need to all be submitted to the one that is my hope, and that is the Lord Jesus. That be an encouragement to you. We can relearn these life lessons until we can have the mind of Christ. This time, though, perhaps we would be obedient to His will, not our will. His plan, not our plans. His timing, not our own timing. And yes, those opportunities, sure, we lost some of them. Once an opportunity is lost, it's lost forever, somebody said. We can't wind the time back. But can I encourage us all this morning? This may be the case, but it shouldn't stop us from trying again. Praying that the Lord, in His grace and in His mercy, would give us more opportunities. Do you realize that? That the Lord Jesus, in His body of believers, can use somebody else and not you. It is a privilege to serve Him. You and I cannot say that this church would not go on without us. Oh, yes, it will. And it's indeed a privilege to serve Him. And may we take those opportunities. And let us try again and again and again until He calls us home. Only this time, perhaps, when those opportunities do come, that we would not turn a blind eye, that we would actually take those opportunities. I don't know how much of this you have lost last year, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that we have not completely lost these aspirations. Not completely lost, because we can relearn these life lessons, and indeed we can ask the Lord for a renewed opportunity. And then lastly, why do I say that it's not completely lost? Because lastly, we have a loving God, a merciful, a gracious, forgiving God that we have. Psalm 51, and we'll finish with this. Just a few pages. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, a very familiar passage. Let's look into the heart of David when he wrote this. And applying it in our context of our lost aspirations, our life lessons, and indeed our lost opportunities. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And so, beloved, may we learn to number our days this year and gain a heart of wisdom.